Within ExxonMobil, responsibility for assessing Aceh's violence and managing relations with the Indonesian military fell to the Global Security Department. Global Security's roster of overseas employees and contractors conjured the lineup of a Hollywood action film. Former KGB officers, veterans of the British Special Air Service and French Special Forces, and retired officers of the Central Intelligence Agency and the United States military. At the time of the Mobil merger, Lee Raymond elevated Mike Farmer, a career corporate security professional, to become manager of global security operations. Under Farmer, the Aceh case fell to Tommy Chong, who had a background in Singapore law enforcement. He ran ExxonMobil's Southeast Asian security operations out of an office in his native country. ExxonMobil's executives understood the reputational and other risks they bore. Aceh had witnessed a complete breakdown of law and order, Robert Haynes, an international relations manager in Washington, wrote in a memo to his superiors on December 13, 1999. Haynes emerged as an important advisor to ExxonMobil on its Aceh problem after the merger. He was a West Point graduate who had commanded an armored cavalry troop in Vietnam, leading rural sweep operations near Da Nang. After that tour, he resigned his commission and entered law school. A long career in Mobil's Office of General Counsel had led him eventually to Fairfax, Virginia, where he headed up the international section of the corporation's public affairs office at the time of the merger. He was one of the few Mobil hands in Washington that Exxon kept on. His Vietnam experience had equipped him to assess the complexity of the corporation's dilemmas in Aceh. The presence of Indonesian troops around the gas fields only serves to inflame the population and results in suspicions that ExxonMobil is linked to the military, he wrote. In the spring of 2000, after the merger closed, ExxonMobil Global Security concluded that it could use some fresh eyes on its Aceh problem. Mike Farmer assigned John Allen Connor, an Arabic-speaking retired U.S. Army lieutenant colonel who had served as a special forces officer with the Green Berets and worked extensively in the Middle East, to the Indonesia security team. Connor had joined Exxon after leaving the U.S. Army. There was a sizable contingent of former military men at the corporation. In Yemen, he had successfully negotiated truces with tribal sheikhs around Exxon's oil fields. And in Africa, he had helped scope out security for oil field operations in areas prone to insurgency. Farmer asked Connor to undertake a risk assessment of ExxonMobil's position in Aceh. Connor looked at how Indonesian soldiers used and misused ExxonMobil equipment. He found that TNI soldiers occasionally approached Indonesian-born employees to demand a bulldozer or dump truck, according to accounts of his study that circulated within Exxon. If the employee refused, he might be beaten up or threatened. Connor's assessment found nothing as dramatic as mass graves dug with ExxonMobil equipment, according to a person familiar with the internal reporting. The review did document cases of equipment being hijacked by Indonesian soldiers for unknown purposes in the midst of a conflict rife with abuses. This sort of strong-arming of ExxonMobil equipment by local security forces was a chronic problem for the company worldwide, particularly in Africa. Such borrowing posed legal risks to the corporation. Under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, the American anti-bribery statute, there were limitations to what equipment or services ExxonMobil could provide to host governments and militaries without charging market prices. Each time the TNI demanded a free ride on one of ExxonMobil's corporate airplanes or asked more formally to borrow a truck, the request had to be reviewed by the corporation's lawyers, who often turned down the requests. In Indonesia, this had left TNI officers frustrated and even more inclined to take what they wanted at gunpoint. Exxon told its local employees not to sacrifice their physical safety if threatened, but if possible, to resist demands by soldiers to take equipment and to call for help. High-level ExxonMobil executives reviewed the assessments of the corporation's relationship with the Indonesian military. Farmer forwarded a report entitled Indonesia Strategic Security Study to ExxonMobil Vice President Lance Johnson, noting that it identifies a range of critical tasks that must be completed quickly to respond to ongoing and potential security concerns. A second internal report concluded that it would be necessary to enforce uncompromising controls across the board. Connor stayed on in Aceh to support the security mission. He and other Exxon security officers, some permanently stationed in the province, others rotating in and out, tried to develop close working relationships with the Indonesian Army Battalion and company commanders deployed around ExxonMobil's gas fields. The corporation's security executives felt it was ludicrous to think that ExxonMobil should be held responsible for TNI brutality or the use of excavation equipment outside of their control. At the same time, there could be little doubt that ExxonMobil exercised some authority over the TNI soldiers assigned to its Achenese gas fields. ExxonMobil's contract, for example, gave the corporation the right to influence the Indonesian forces' deployment logistics, and it assisted in the management of security affairs with the TNI. As Mike Farmer recalled it, ExxonMobil's corporate security officers on site would take business requirements to the military and say, "This is what we'd like to do over the next week or over the next 10 days. Can you take the appropriate steps to make sure that it's done?" For example, the corporation might be starting up gas wells in a certain field, or might be moving employees in a convoy, and it would ask the TNI to delay support. A typical written instruction from Tommy Chong carried the subject heading, "Deployment of Military Resources," and began, "We have revised the deployment logistics of the new military resources as follows. Point A, 40 soldiers, inclusive of 15, to handle military escorts for employee travels." Another internal document made explicit ExxonMobil's authority over the TNI units it paid. It carried the heading, "Increase in Military Deployment," and instructed that the Indonesian Army be asked to confirm that ExxonMobil has the right to influence the security plan.